everybody. Welcome to WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And today we decided we are going to do a movie review.
I know.
It's been so long.
A really long time.
But we were actually able to, or at least I did. I don't know about you, Ian, but I actually stepped foot in a theater for it.
I did not.
Okay, so you must have paid the premium?
I did. I did. Premier Access and watched it, I think I went to my parents' house because they have a nicer TV than me. So,
yes,
you know, bigger. Felt very, very IMAX-y in there. I don't know. It's fine.
Okay, it's not that big. I've seen your parents' television, but still, it's more, it's sizable in comparison mine.
You have not seen my parents' TV. This is super not connected.
I know, but it's still bigger than mine regardless.
It's true, but it's actually, like, the TV they have now is not the one that you've seen, because one that they've got now is one that's in my house, or the one that was one you've seen is now the one that's in my house.
So it is
actually bigger, but that's, again, neither here nor there. Sorry,
it's okay. My screen was still bigger because I saw it in theaters, which was so odd.
Yeah,
first time after the whole pandemic.
This whole
Panini
pandemic
stuff,
thing, yeah. If you weren't aware.
They were still, I went to the AMC, they were still doing a seat in between groups.
Okay.
So when you reserve your spot, they had
buffer
X'd
seats.
Out seats
okay.
next to the locations. There were only two other groups of people that were there, so we were able to space out fairly well.
Yeah.
And I obviously am still wearing my mask due to my autoimmune diseases.
Yep.
But it was really nice, but weird.
Yeah. Nice but weird is, I think, a description a lot of people have right now for getting back into some things. I'm having to re-socialize. I'm like a pound puppy or something, re-socializing with people.
Were you around during pound puppies?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know.
They were a toy in the late 80s, early 90s.
No.
Okay. Just, I had to ask because I've never heard you reference yourself as a pound puppy before, and I wondered where you got that information.
I think I was just describing literally a puppy that was in
from
a pound.
From the pound? Okay.
Yeah.
Which, hey, kind of works into Cruella. Interesting segue, maybe?
So we're talking about Cruella today, and amongst other things, apparently.
We were able to find our old review format.
Yes, we were able to track it down and figure it out, which is pretty exciting. And I guess we might as well just kind of jump in and talk about it. Are we going to do spoiler free or not spoiler free today?
I mean, it always leads to 101 Dalmatians, which they know the ending of the
true
movie.
I mean, it's got a plot twist, but it's like hardly a plot twist to anyone who's like, you know.
I mean, I guessed it within the first opening sequence.
So fast.
It's not so fast. I don't think it's that big of a twist.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. No, it was immediately, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, what else? Okay, yep. So spoilers, we're just going to say, also, by the time this posts, we're 3 weeks out from when it first came out.
So if
you haven't seen it yet and you are going to pay to see it or you don't want to hear this, we love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Right.
If you don't care and or have seen it already, join us along for this combo.
Yep. All right, so let's dive in. Should we start with... Now, I put this in the order that we just, like, had it from the last show. Do you want to talk about plot first, or do you want to talk about, like, visual
stuff? Plot and story makes more sense.
To start with kind of the core of things, right?
Yeah.
All right, so plot and story. I will say that I find this to be my weakest part of the entire thing. Just personally.
Okay.
Kind of like we were alluding to before, like the... The plot twist isn't surprising at all. I think that the characters are well enough written and the dialogue isn't bad or anything. It's just that the storyline itself doesn't really feel like much.
Okay. So I will say this. We've had this conversation before and I can't remember if it was recorded or not.
I can't either.
But for the choice of villains, now that they're on this, like, let's tell the origin stories of villains kick, for them to choose Cruella when it was an unnecessary story was a really odd choice. Like, I would love to see the backstory of Yzma.
Right.
Like, right. Hello, she became this all-powerful woman, right hand of,
yeah.
you know, the king down in a very male-dominated culture. How mm-hmm. the heck did she do that? And she has magic? What? I'd love that story.
Right.
But, really, Cruella? I was not like, yeah, I need to know her background.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that was a quote that I saw from some reviewer that was basically to the effect of, I liked it. It still didn't justify its existence, mm-hmm. which I think is a good kind of my big takeaway from the whole story overall is just I don't know why it was made,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't feel like it really added some sort of anthology to like Cruella de Vil's world, and it didn't add anything to what 101 Dalmatians is as a plot line for itself.
I'll agree.
That's kind of my thing.
It basically was The Devil Wears Prada, but Disney wanted to put it in their family and connected it to the cartoons.
Right, exactly.
So Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
But make it puppies.
Make it puppies. Yeah. It was an excuse to make a movie, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, okay,
that's kind of my thing.
Yeah. That being said, going into the visuals and technical aspect.
Well.
Oh my God. For what the storyline was.
Yeah.
They made it beautiful.
They did. Oh my God. Every part of it was just expertly crafted.
And for, I know that you're not in the fashion world, no. but I am. I used to model and yep. I know designers and, yep. you know, yep. not trying to throw clout out there, but I'm familiar with that world that she's coming
she's
from
flexing,
and she's working
fine.
In. And so, like, the one part with the dress and when the crate came of all those little gold, quote unquote, beads,
uh-huh.
I knew exactly what they were
yeah.
right off the bat. I'm like, they're either going to be beetle wings or they're going to be like bug cocoons
yeah.
that have been coated in gold
yep.
for them to stitch onto
stitch
this
onto
dress.
The dress.
Because traditionally, they used to use beetle wings to decorate
yeah.
outfits instead sure. of, you know, it's basically the quote unquote cheaper rich person's gems.
Got
so
it.
Instead of having to buy rubies and sapphires to stitch onto
there
the gowns,
they synthetic sequins.
They
the
used
yeah.
They wings. Used beetle wings.
Okay.
And you can actually still purchase them today and use them if you want it as well.
Okay.
A little odd because most people aren't used to putting bugs on them, but
yep.
I knew what it was right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But this is, oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
I know where you're going. So the dresses were gorgeous.
Yep.
The,
And that's my thing is as a person who has no fashion background other than just being around. I am around a lot of people who do
mm-hmm.
do know fashion and stuff. Just as a complete outsider on that, like it was just everything was stunning and you could tell. Like they did a good job of like showing like stuff and you knew it was good. Like it was
yeah.
easy for them to it was easy to see it,
yeah.
I guess.
And it was also a period piece too, kind of.
Right.
So they were referencing when they were making the clothes, they were referencing actual articles that had been created or
right.
inspiration from those pieces. And so just on that aspect alone, chef's kiss, beautiful. I
yeah.
loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. Technical standpoint, in terms of effects and stuff, really pretty amazing. You look at, there's the moments that, from a visual standpoint that really got me, like, when she's driving the car,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they did such a perfect job of giving her the exact energy and vibe of the original movie.
Yep.
And so visually they were able to tell that really well.
And they were able to connect it with the erratic driving behavior that we're familiar with
yes.
from those existing,
yes.
you know.
Yep.
Retcons. Wait, what? That
I,
right word?
I,
okay.
Sure.
I don't know.
Go with it.
But she never got a driver's license.
Right.
She doesn't know how to drive. That makes
right.
sense. Why she's constantly running into things and doesn't care.
Right. Because that's just her deal. Yeah. The concert across the way that they put on, like the pop-up
mm-hmm.
concert piece, that's really, really cool. And like just from a cinematic standpoint, it was really well shot. Just every little piece of it that was there felt purposeful, felt well put together.
It was a very artistically shot film.
Yes.
So the lighting was on point to convey the correct emotions at the time. There were parts where it was definitely bright and colorful, but then they were able to change the color saturation to fit the more melancholy times. And not just because she's Cruella and black and white and red are her thing, but they were able to really take in and saturate this palette and make it like drool worthy for the amount of coloring and shapes and stuff that they created off of that. It was gorgeous.
It was rich. It was like a rich just visually the language, the visual language of it was just rich.
Speaking of that first scene in Hell Hall or Hellham Hall,
whatever it was originally
where she as a little girl is in there for the runway show and all of those dresses and the party, and it looked like a candy, like a cotton candy fantasy.
Oh, absolutely. It was just and they used the period style for that too. And so the wigs and the just everything was just so
bright pastels, butterflies, everything, which really contrasted well to her very
70s grungy.
Well, and the black and white that she was wearing at that time, and her hair color, which, spoiler, is natural.
Yeah, I guess that's like her thing, is that she has a natural black and white two-tone.
I don't know, but okay, so here's going back to the storyline a little bit, because I have to address this.
Yeah.
So you meet Perdita and you meet Roger. And at and this is an end credit scene where they're gifted with Dalmatians.
The Anita and Roger piece.
So they're assuming that they're from Cruella, and I think the cards did claim that they were from Cruella.
Yeah.
Why would Cruella then give them both Dalmatian puppies, which are also assumed siblings, off of the dogs that she took ownership from? And then they have babies that then lead to this pack of puppies that she tries to destroy. I don't get that. I don't get that connection between, you take ownership of these Dalmatians now that have been part of this movie the entire time.
Yep.
They obviously must have had puppies at one point in time. You gift them to
Anita and Roger.
Anita, not Perdita. Anita and Roger.
Yeah.
And then how come you hate the puppies and want to?
That never gets adequately explained.
No.
And it also just makes me wonder, like, it's almost as if they're kind of, we're gonna try to use retcon again, into like what her motives were during 101 Dalmatians. Like, were her motives different than, or maybe she just had fully lost it, was, and she's like, well, I need all these puppies to make this coat, so.
Because in this movie, she makes a faux Dalmatian outfit that is referenced, and that gets the quote-unquote main villain, antagonist, riled up, thinking it's her dogs.
Yeah.
But she never actually makes it out of Dalmatian fur.
No, she does
so
not.
Why would she then turn around and hate on Dalmatian puppies? And, you know, from the original cartoon, she says, do whatever you want. Boil them, drown them, bash them on the head.
Right.
But whatever you got to do, just kill the little beasts. Do it and do it now. So,
right.
I don't understand. It's not a euphemism, or it's not an, you know, it's not her trying to say that I want something that looks like them.
Right. I mean,
or to pretend to be them.
I think there's also a certain amount of, like, introducing the characters also of Horace and Jasper.
Oh, yes.
Being
so let's get into the characters then.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that. I mean, if you're looking at the characters of Horace and Jasper, they're both likable characters.
They are.
Much more likable than her in a lot of ways. In terms of just like their moral code and whatever. And that's, and then her bit where she's in full Cruella mode and almost like her superhero alter ego kind of, supervillain alter ego kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is like they were trying to, again, like they were trying to retcon that interaction into the previous movie, into 101 Dalmatians, yeah. and basically being like, she didn't mean it. Like, that's like kind of what it felt like they were kind of winking about that.
I don't know.
And that's what I don't, understand.
Yeah. I did appreciate how she got hooked up with the guys at a younger age. So they were all in the movie. They all were basically runaways living together in a very young age, leaning on each other, supporting each other. They became a nice tight-knit family.
Yeah.
And then once she started, you know... Okay, this is... Okay. I had an issue with this, and I don't know if this was intentional.
Okay.
But her... Emma Stone's character that is Cruella also goes by Estella. Mm-hmm. Estella was the good side to Cruella's coin of the bad side alter ego.
Yeah, yeah.
That, but they acted, or they Emma was directed to act as if they were two separate beings inside her body. And so she's like, you know, Estella is dead. Or there were lots of little things, and maybe it's because I've been doing a lot of research of dissociative identity disorder recently.
Oh, I see.
Otherwise, what used to be known as multiple personalities disorder.
Right.
But I saw so many things off of what I've learned from DID being referenced in the Estella Cruella.
The dichotomy between the two.
Yes. Like, and entities. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but they tried to act as if they were two separate personalities that were.
Well,
I don't know.
It's an interesting plot point to kind of or character study to go down, because if you think about it, her character kind of it's almost like Estella was created.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was kind of her coping.
And DID comes originally from traumatic experiences.
Yep. And it'll be a compartmentalization.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely interesting. I think that I didn't like how far they pushed that, because to me it seemed sort of over the top, and I also don't think that was personally. I don't think that's what they were intending.
Okay,
I definitely got the sense she was more like getting carried away with a character. Is what it felt like to me.
Okay.
I am over the top. I am ridiculous. And then she just kind of lets it go. But like you said, like the wording and verbiage that they used in some of her lines really felt like they were pushing that direction to me. And I'm like, I don't know if that's what they intend here.
And then pair that with the conversations that they have with Horace and Jasper, where they're talking about, we miss Estella, bring back Estella.
Right.
You know, we liked you when you were Estella. Mm-hmm. We don't like Cruella. And a lot of the other phrases that they would go through on where they basically did treat her like she had two different identities.
Yeah.
And, you know, but with DID, those identities can communicate with each other in the inner world, or, you know, whatever verbiage they want to use.
Yeah.
And I'm by no means an expert, guys. This is just stuff that I've observed throughout this movie off of the little information that I have. If you have any questions about this, obviously do your own research.
Right.
But it just was a very awkward thing for me to see. Either it was a director's choice of trying to separate the Estella versus Cruella aspects even more.
Yeah.
Or it was an unintentional thing and just played off that way. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I would see
where I'm coming from on this.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. No, and the same thought crossed my mind. Absolutely.
Okay, so I wasn't the only one.
No, like DID actually popped into my head at some point during that, being like, are they trying to push her into two, like, actually independent personalities? That was interesting.
I just broke my glass straw.
She broke her glass straw, so that's kind of exciting. Are you good? Everything fine?
I'm just wet, and this drink's dead now, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, that was exciting.
Yeah, that was fun.
She doesn't own her own strength, guys.
No. I've never broken a glass. I'm covered in lime now.
covered in lime.
I had the lime wedge in there, so it's like the little pulp of the lime. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Back to our regularly scheduled
programming.
DID conversation.
Yeah, okay. definitely DID crossed my mind, and I think that, to me, knowing that it was Disney, I feel like that they didn't want to overtly go there. And I also don't think
they
that
didn't
want
to flat out say it like Split tried to do. And Split was a horrible rendition anyways.
Right. And I think that it's not necessarily it's fraught trying to kind of take a movie into that universe, you know, going all in on that. And I just think that obviously they're trying to prove that she had, you know, she's got trauma. She's got issues that she's dealing with. And, you know, Cruella is clearly a mechanism for her. And I don't think that it was their intention to go as far as DID.
Mm-hmm.
But, gosh, they sure used a lot of wording, like you said, that really came off that way.
Yeah.
And I think that the intention was no, and it was, like, more like like supervillain alter ego. They're both, you know, she is one being always in control, but lets her Cruella persona let her go too far. Like, it's like it kind of lets her, it's kind of like, you know, she's always, you know, trying to maintain a certain image as Estella. Mm-hmm. When she's Cruella, it doesn't matter because she's Cruella and she whatever she wants, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so to me, it feels more like that and less of like a compartmentalized, like actual, you know, a disorder based on, you know, that kind of thing. But I could be wrong, but that's my interpretation. But they did push the language too far.
I guess come to your own conclusions when you watch the movie, or do you agree with us? I mean, I'd be interested in knowing.
Yeah, definitely.
Now let's talk about Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Emma Thompson.
I had a hard time feeling like she's the villain. And I think that's because I have seen way too many other movies where she's always been the positive, you know, protagonist or, you know, the happy light or like I was getting more of a saving Mr. Banks sort of thing from her
than I was
like this truly murderous woman.
Yeah.
Legit murderous. And she's killed multiple people and tried to murder others. But I didn't get that from her.
You know what? I actually had no problem with it.
Oh.
Like, the entire time, I was just like, because that was the thing, was, like, she kind of gave off one energy in some ways, but was also very much different in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was all kind of...
She was more Miranda Priestly to me than she was, you know, a murderer. Miranda Priestly, Devil Wears Prada reference again.
Right, right. But I also just got the sense that I think that she definitely played it kind of campy, which is fine because a lot of characters in the fashion world are kind of that way anyway. But why? I don't know. I guess I just didn't question it because like people wouldn't, you know, people her
and
persona.
It might have just been me.
And it's you're right. And there's also that whole thing where if you associate an actor very strongly with another role, then you end up in situations where, you know, it's hard to reassociate them. And like, I don't have quite as much experience with Emma Thompson's other roles as much. You know, it's like, obviously it's like, well, Harry Potter, whatever. Like that doesn't really
I didn't even remember. She was Trelawney.
She's Trelawney too. I know. It's just that one's got range anyway. I think for me, it's because of the way she portrayed it. It felt more sinister just because like she had this persona where you're like, well, she's crazy. Like, or she's, you know, very narcissistic, but she wouldn't be a murderer. But like, she totally was like, that worked for me, but I don't know if it's just because I didn't have, like, a preconceived notion about Emma Thompson, the actor.
Yeah, that might be the case. Me, I just had a hard time believing that she was going to be that cruel.
Sure.
I did get, like I said, a Miranda Priestly feel from her, which is why I associate this more strongly with a Devil Wears Prada feel.
A lot of people did.
Because, you know, she is the demanding boss who is taking everything as if she owns it and is responsible for it and making it her own. Really thought it was weird how she has video cameras everywhere, even in public areas that back alleyways that shouldn't have cameras.
I mean, I think if it's, and that was never like super clear to me, but like if it was on her building looking into the back alleyway, I think that's like technically legal, but if it's not on her building, like, I don't know, like it definitely was showing you she was overstepping her stuff.
And her fashions for being like the queen of fashion were not as good. And I just, from a tailoring aspect, I mean, there were a couple outfits that I was like, come on, costuming department, you should have been better at that.
I definitely got the sense that they were trying to portray her from a previous era. Like, her own fashion was sort of from like a days gone by kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my own. That was my own take on that.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not like a fashion expert.
It's okay. I mean, she was good. She was a good antagonist.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Yeah, fair enough.
I say good, but I really am.
You know what?
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of other things to say. I'm just like some
neither
quick,
do I.
Some quick round stuff on that. Like, I think that, I loved the casting for Anita and Roger. I really enjoyed...
Did we actually have a retcon saying that Roger was a lawyer before he got into music? Because I don't feel like that connection really makes sense.
It doesn't
really. But they went back to, you know, the post-credit scene where he's already writing Cruella de Vil, which in the original cartoon, he didn't write until... they were already married and put together.
Right.
And
that was the other thing, too, is it the way that they ended it doesn't totally line up either.
They just smashed those together to try and give us
a sense
of the connection to...
And that's my other problem was, you know, theoretically, too, the other thing, too, is at this point, theoretically, Anita and Roger shouldn't have met. And I think they did once at this point in time, by the time the end of the movie happens. And also... were they married? In the original movie,
they met in a park because the dogs put them together, and then they got married.
And their last names were Darling, right? At that point in time, or am I losing my mind?
I can't remember.
Because her name...
I remember Cruella busting in going, Anita Darling!
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if Darling was the actual last name, or if it was just a term of endearment.
Okay. I could probably find out this information with like a really cursory
irrelevant,
glance
really though.
It is, but it was interesting to me that they made that her last name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my lord. But it's very interesting. I know what I'm doing wrong. Remember how 101 Dalmatians is spelled out in the original one? Remember how we went through that?
Yes.
Years ago? Okay.
Yes.
Characters. Oh, no. Their names are Radcliffe. That's their last names in the original one.
Okay.
So they gave Roger's last name, they made him Roger Dearly, and they made Anita's last name Darling. So I don't... There's just... Obviously, like, they weren't trying to make it, like, a direct, like... prequel, like it wasn't supposed to be that, but it was kind of interesting. They kind of like did that much crossover, but didn't make it kind of go a little bit. They could have gone a little bit farther, with that connection to me. I don't know. It was fine. A character that I didn't understand really was Mark Strong's character, the butler.
Yeah,
he was an important plot piece, but I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't get any of his motivations behind any of it.
Agreed.
And Mark Strong is a great actor, and he, like, played it well, but it wasn't really, like, there wasn't much character to have until, like, he suddenly has a change of
heart. It was a very flat character.
Yeah, and it was kind of a waste of Mark Strong.
and then when the plot twist happened...
Right.
It's like he opened his house to these guys, which is way too chummy.
Right.
Literally they were just trying to be murdered
and
framed for murder.
Right. And then why did he risk his own life suddenly? It did not make any sense to me.
No, it didn't make sense at all.
I had issues with that. I enjoyed Artie. Artie was a fun character. just very, very David Bowie, and I was very, very there for that.
Yes. Should we get into the drama?
Let's get into the drama. Yeah, let's do the drama before we do our rating stuff.
Okay, so this movie was already in concept for many, many years, and then when the pandemic hit, they had already been working with costume designer Jenny Bevan, and who's also known for things like Mad Max Fury Road, Room with a View. She's been nominated 10 times for, you know, costume design for the Academy Awards, won twice, tons of other things. I mean, she has a huge caliber in her
abilities.
And so she basically came up with the entire look of Cruella, from the costume designs. They were actually in creation mode and everything before everything got shut down for the pandemic.
Yeah.
Once the pandemic was over and they started working on this movie, they never reached back out to her. Then she finds out, as ads and things are starting to come out, that those designs that she created are not only being used and she's not really getting the credit for it, but Disney also is going above and beyond and starting to market lookalike items for sale through their different merchandising, you know, forums that they have.
Yep.
And so basically the Costume Designers Guild is going after them for unfair practices, for not giving Jenny the credit that she's due in regards to her design style and ideas and everything that happened, which is really an interesting connection when you're looking at the plot of this movie, where Emma Thompson's character is stealing designs from younger, smaller people that's doing all the designing for her and is claiming them as her own line.
Yep.
So it is a really interesting thing life is imitating art, or art is imitating life.
Yeah, it all comes full circle.
Situation.
I get, you know, like, she came in and, like, helped out with, like, the movie stuff. So, like, when they made the movie, like, that's one thing that she, like, designed, like, did the design for the movie, and then they, like, did the movie. But, like, the fact that you're going to, like, go in and then merchandise on somebody something after all of that and not have them part of any of that process is really just not a good look.
Like, especially big brands like Target and Singer Sewing Machines. They have corresponding lines that harken back to her design stuff. I don't get it.
That's not super great.
And the quote here, it says, "Because I'm 70, I didn't think I'd get insurance." And a lot of producers were saying, you know, we may never be able to make films again. So she wasn't even really worried about that work, because she was more concerned about her being so old and not being able to get another job after the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so she didn't hear anything from Disney. And then it just went on through, and it's ridiculous. I think it's horrible that they're doing this to her, and I don't know. I don't appreciate how someone can take this creative genius and just use her like that. Now, that being said, it happens all the time all over the world. Yes, we're aware, but come on, guys, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because there was a pandemic doesn't mean that you can't give credit to the people who helped you create this.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So that being said, do we want to talk through our final word on this?
Our ratings. Sure. So, to remind everybody, because it's been a while, our rating scale is pay full price. So this is either going to the theaters and buying a regular weekend ticket.
Right.
Or in this case,
Premier access.
Going to go see it matinee prices, so a little bit discounted. Renting it from, let's say, a Redbox or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting to stream it on the streaming services, or meh. It's passable. So what would you say it is?
You know, it's tough because it sort of depends on who you are. But given that, like, if you are like me and you like a visual story and you like that energy, I would say I sit somewhere between full price and matinee.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, just because it's you know, some people are going to find it less interesting, but I think to get the full story for this, if you can, as big a screen as possible with as good of everything as possible is probably the best for this. Mm-hmm. Watching this on the back of the airplane seat is just not going to do it justice.
Agreed. So I'm right there with you, but where I would go meh, or not meh, but where I would go matinee would be if you're looking at it as if it is part of the 101 Dalmatians family.
Mm.
It does not connect really there at all. They have characters with the same names and a black and white haired chick. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only connection that you have. So if you're trying to make it connected and think that it's, you're going to go in there, don't pay full price.
No.
Because you'll be disappointed. If you want to go and see a beautiful movie that has some stunning outfits and Disney does Devil Wears Prada, then totally go full pay full price. I did. I don't regret it at all.
Yep. I agree. I agree with that entirely.
So that is our review of Cruella.
Yes, indeed. Wow.
I don't know how long that took us, but if you guys are still around, thank you so much. I know we went on a bit of a tangent here a couple times, and I am still soaked from my drink. But
it's fun. We'll get a refresh. It's good.
We will see you guys next week. And this has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great big beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream away.